Ponder over with us the influence our fathers have had on us. Today on The Balanced Word.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Though our fathers are far from perfect, they've had an influence on our lives and impact us in many ways. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll pause to reflect on this powerful inheritance we receive from our dads. Pastor Dave Rolfe will share some of the things he's learned from his dad, and I think you'll be encouraged to do the same. This is part of our series, Smarter Living, where we're looking to the Proverbs in search of God's wisdom to apply to our daily living. Solomon has quite a bit to say about fathers. Let's see what he has to say to us.
The word dad is a powerful word. There have been studies done where they share different words with people and measure the emotional reaction that they get from it. And in one of those tests, the word dad created more of a reaction than any other word. Dad became a nickname for father, probably because when babies are first, uttering speech, the two simplest words that they can utter are mama and dada. And so as a result, that's some of our earliest recollections. And really, frankly, when the kid says daddy, dada, he's not referring to their dad, but we act like he is. And so then they get that connotation eventually. But the privilege of being a father, the privilege of having someone look up to you and having that influence on you is something that when you're a dad, you understand, wow, there really isn't much greater than that. And for every one of us, one thing we all have in common, we all had dads. We were all affected by our dads. And I think that it's a good time for us to consider it. So, for some of us, maybe it's painful because none of us had perfect dads. For some of us, our dads just did a lot of things that were damaging to us, and yet who we are today is at least partly due to whatever father influences we had in our lives, some from our natural father, others from other men who kind of stepped up and showed us what a man is like, what it means to have that fatherly influence. And so Solomon, as we this year are going through Proverbs and looking at his wisdom, when we think of Solomon, Solomon certainly understood the word dad as being a big deal. Solomon's dad was the most famous man in perhaps all of history, the most honored man, King David of Israel. David, the one who at the end of Revelation, when Jesus is bragging about being a relative of David. So imagine being David's son Solomon. He certainly had mixed dad issues because there were great things that happened to him as a result of David being his dad. But at the same time, there was an element of shame and embarrassment because of the circumstances that led to David being with Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, actually having her husband killed so that he could take her as his wife. And then Solomon being, after they lost their first child, Solomon's the next one born. Imagine being Solomon, growing up, all of your big brothers and sisters resent you and hate you because your mom is the one that your dad did that with. The shame and the embarrassment, the humiliation. Also, Solomon was born late in his dad's life, so he probably never got to know David all that well. He probably knew more about David from hearing stories than he did from actual interaction with his dad, who, by the time Solomon was born, shortly thereafter, David's health had so deteriorated. So he would hear stories, man, I remember when your dad, he was such a stud. He went and took on a giant and killed him. Boy, I remember when your dad led the children of Israel to defeat the Philistines when they were grossly outnumbered. And so he's hearing all this. At the same time, he's realizing, man, I don't even hardly know my dad that well, and I wish it had happened under different circumstances and so on. But Solomon has some things to say about dads. He has some things to say specifically about what you inherit from your dad. And so I want to look at a few of those scriptures, and then we'll kind of think about what it says to us. Turn in your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22. Proverbs 13, 22. Solomon says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." That's a mouthful. Solomon talks a lot about an inheritance. An inheritance to them, the connotation of that Hebrew word, isn't just the stuff you get when your parent dies. That would be carved up in all sorts of ways. The word inheritance has within it the connotation of something that you will always have. It's the part of what's given to you that becomes your, you know, permanent possession. And so he's saying there are things that you get that you're always going to have. And I think that we all have those kinds of things. But let's look at a few other verses that relate to this. Chapter 17, Proverbs 17 and verse 6 says, "Children's children or grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father." Solomon certainly understood that, maybe a lot more than he had experienced it in his life. Turn over to chapter 19 and verse 14. And he says, "Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." In other words, you can get stuff, but man, family. Ultimately, it's those connections that really matter. And then turn over to chapter 22 and verse 1. And he says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." His perspective was who you are, the reputation that you leave, is the greatest thing that you can ever pass down. It's more valuable than any of the stuff. The transference of character in the life of someone. Well, we can look at Solomon and think, okay, what did he inherit? What was it that he thought was such a big deal? And I can think of several things that he inherited from David that he could rightfully appreciate and be proud of. I mean, one of the first ones was he got a lot of stuff, okay? He ended up becoming the king because of his dad, and he got these beautiful houses that David had built and the commission to build the temple. He had a lot of wealth and riches, and so certainly that was something that he would have to say, you know, yeah, that gave me a nice start in life. He also had a work ethic that he got from David. David worked very hard most of his life. Solomon, too, was an incredibly hard worker. Even though he didn't need to work, he always did. And I think Solomon picked that up from his dad, David, who was just mostly on the go for most of his life. One of the greatest things that Solomon inherited from David was his most valuable possession, and that was the wisdom that God gave him. Remember, David had told Solomon, "Man, if you ever have a chance to decide what you want to get wisdom. Above everything else, ask for wisdom." So when God came to Solomon and said, "You know, I love your dad. So because I loved your dad, I'll give you anything. What do you want?" And he said, "Give me wisdom to lead your people. Give me wisdom." And God said, "That's such a good answer. That's such an amazing answer that I'm going to make you wiser than anyone ever. But because you asked for wisdom and you didn't ask for riches, I'm going to also make you richer than anyone else. Because you didn't ask for power, I'm going to also make you more powerful than anyone else because you asked for the right thing." And I think that Solomon had to look back and go, Dad, man, thanks for giving me that. That was what ended up defining my life and who I was. And you let me know that that mattered. A love for God's people, for God's land. I think Solomon also appreciated nature because partly his dad was that way. When you read the Psalms, you see how much David is just in awe of the beauty of creation and nature. The heavens declare the glory of God, he would say. And then you read where Solomon also studied nature and appreciated its beauty and waxed eloquently about it. Of course, one of the things that jumps out at you is David and Solomon, two of the most creative people in the Bible. David as a young man, as a musician, as a songwriter, writing poetry, and then later as a designer and an architect, planning buildings and executing on his plans. And then you see Solomon, same thing, writing songs, writing Proverbs, writing a beautiful love song that we stuck in the Bible, the Song of Solomon, that's basically just there, I think, because it's a beautiful work of art. And so both of them understood the importance of creativity. And by being, you know, creativity is a funny thing because if you're busy, you just blow right by creativity. Creativity takes time to stop and reflect and think and develop. And as busy as David was, he was also incredibly creative. And so Solomon would take the time also to realize, I can create something that's of worth. So he would write and build and design and preserve because he had understood that and got that from his dad. Of course, the vision for God's house was something that was David's original vision. But for Solomon, it was his crowning glory as well, as he continued that work that his dad had started. Sadly, one of David's greatest weaknesses is he kind of had a weakness for women, and it hurt him in several instances. Solomon should have learned from that and gone, yeah, I don't want to be that way. But instead, he took it in spades, and he destroyed his own life by just never knowing how to say no when he would see another attractive woman. And unfortunately, he took who his dad was in that respect and really magnified it greatly. And that's the way it is for all of us. We receive certain inheritance, certain heritage, and we decide either I'm going to be like that or I'm going to learn from that and I'm going to be different than that. Now, what I want to encourage you to do today is just to think about what your inheritance was. We all had fathers. We also all have those who fill father roles in our lives. What did we receive from them that's beneficial? Quite often, we see our dads, they weren't perfect, they had issues, and it's easy for us to just go, oh, I don't want anything to do with that. I can't even go there in my head. Well, let me just share with you some of the things that have gone through my head as I think about this, specifically about my father and other people who influenced me, and then you can reflect on your influences and your father in your own life, and that'll be one of the discussions this week in the small groups to really dig down into that. Well, my dad was paranoid schizophrenic, and so growing up with him was crazy. He was in and out of mental hospitals. He could be very abusive. At the same time, he's super religious and really into God. And so in a lot of ways, that could have turned me away from God. But as I was thinking about my dad and the things I inherited from my dad, I didn't inherit a bunch of stuff. When he died, and I hadn't seen him for years, he was gone after I was about 12. But, you know, when he died and I had to go take care of things, it was basically just a pile of junk. I think I might have some bolt cutters that I still got from, inherited from my dad, but other than that, it was mostly just what to get rid of. But as I think about my dad, I'll tell you something. My dad was incredibly intelligent. And to the degree that my mind is able to process and analyze and synthesize and scrutinize, I understand I received a gift of intelligence from my dad, who was brilliant. And I see it passed down to my boys. When I see my sons, who are both so smart and so able to creatively analyze situations and come up with solutions, I'm like, I can thank my dad for that. My dad also had a real strong work ethic, and he was incredibly self-sufficient. Now, that can be a strength and a weakness. My dad would never ask for help. He would just do it all himself. As a result, when I was a kid, I was the same way. I wanted to do everything myself. To this day, I won't ask for help. And people think that's stupid, but there's some good things about that. That I don't have to rely on everyone else. I'll figure out a way to make something happen. When I was 5 years old, my mom said, she walked into the room, and I had my jeans that were torn, and I was trying to sew them up. Well, that's just kind of the way I've been. This last week, my son William decided he wanted to extend his backyard. And so he's digging a trench and building a retaining wall and all this. And he has a business to run. He shouldn't be. Everyone would look at it and go, why is he doing that? But I understand. Because that's the kind of stupid thing I would do. And yet, there's something really powerful about just going, I'm going to figure out how to do this. I don't care if it takes me twice as long. This is what I'm going to do. My son Danny's the same way. We got that from my dad, and I appreciate it. You may not. A lot of people in my life don't. But from my dad, I also got a love and respect for God's word. As much as he was messed up in his thinking, man, did he love the Bible. He pored over it. When I was 2 and he figured out that I knew how to read, I started reading the Bible out loud to my dad at the age of 2. By the time I was in kindergarten, I had read all the way through the Bible out loud to my dad. Did it several other times. My whole life, I read the Bible constantly because for me, frankly, that was a way for me to spend time with my dad. But I love God's word because of that. And I continued to read his word, even though I didn't really give my life to Christ until I was 18 years old. But the word of God was just saturating me. And that's so valuable. And if it wasn't for my dad, I wouldn't know the Bible like I know it. I also wouldn't know all the old hymns. My dad would take me out in the desert, and we would read the Bible, and we would sing hymns. So like every hymn in the hymn book, I would know all the words to all the verses, and I love them. They still have special memories for me. And when I, you know, recently in the last year, I went out where I hadn't been in many, many years to Joshua Tree, out to Jumbo Rocks, and sitting on these big, huge boulders and remembering this was the way I got time with my dad, was sitting there and singing hymns and reading the Bible. And I sat out there, you know, I made sure there was nobody that close, but I'm singing these hymns and realizing that's something I got from my dad with all kinds of other baggage, but I got that. He loved nature. We'd go to Yosemite 7 or 8 times a year. We would camp out up Ortega Highway at those little campgrounds up there. We'd go out to the desert. We would just go walk on the beach. And, you know, when I was on the beach with my dad looking at the water, it was the most normal that I ever saw my dad. It was like, so when I go there today, I have a warm memory, not of the times when things were out of control or he was being abusive, but I remember he was sane when he was in nature, and I realized I need to get out in nature in order to remember who I am and to connect with that sanity. There are also some bad traits that my dad had that I think made me the opposite. When I was a little kid, I heard the doctor saying that schizophrenia can be inherited. And so there were things about my dad that I made sure that I wasn't, like his fanaticism. He was so fanatical that I had to learn to be balanced. I am not a hyper-extreme person. And I thank my dad for that. I saw what extreme religious fanaticism looked like, and I just didn't do it. I wasn't going to go there. Nobody was going to pull me into some cult or something. I saw his delusions, the things that, you know, that he always thought God was telling him all kinds of crazy stuff. And as a result, I am decidedly not superstitious. I don't walk around like God's my imaginary friend telling me where to park, because I know what that looks like. And I'm thankful that as a result, I'm just not a, I don't get spooked easily. I'm not afraid of ghosts, you know, because I saw what that does in an extreme. His paranoia taught me courage. Not that I wasn't afraid, but my dad was afraid of everything. And I decided, even though I also was afraid of everything, I'm not going to act on that fear. And so I would, if I was afraid of something, that's what I was going to do. And that has served me fairly well in life. Few injuries and things like that along the way, but I wouldn't want to be a slave to fear like my father was. He liked to be alone, liked privacy, and so do I. But I saw what happened to him when he did not associate with people, so I force myself to engage with people so that I don't retreat into some kind of a cocoon that I can't come back out of. Oh, I still have that tendency that's like, you know, I like to be alone, but I don't let myself be alone for long periods of time because I saw what that can do. He was incredibly angry and mean when he got angry, when things didn't go his way. And because of that, I remembered being the target of that rage and deciding, I'm not going to be that. And so I'm a pretty calm person. I don't lose control in terms of anger. And partly I think I owe my dad that, because I had to learn to be different than he was.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We've considered the influence our fathers have had on our lives today on The Balanced Word, but there are also others who have had a fatherly influence on us, as Pastor Dave explains.
Now, not only, you know, there were years and years and years when my dad wasn't in my life, but God brought other men along who filled a fatherly role in my life. And there are many of them that I owe a lot to. A lot of times they didn't know what to do. They were all flawed men. But people like Edmund Parker, who was my karate mentor, he was the father of American karate, opened the first commercial karate studio in the country, Elvis's instructor and bodyguard. But I became very close to Edmund Parker before he died. And he taught me so much about respect. He respected me, and I was a nobody, you know, and he treated me with honor. He was also incredibly generous. We'd go out to eat, and there was no way you were going to pick up the check. He would get it. Didn't matter if there were 30 people. One time I was with him after a black belt test, and he bought dinner for like 30 people, but we had to leave. We didn't even eat. But he taught me that kind of generosity, and I respected it. Olin Johnson, an old Swedish Arkansas guy who I worked for in just out of high school in a machine shop. That guy showed me selflessness because the first day he hired me, he said, "Dave, I want you to understand, if you ever find a job that's even a little better than this one, I want you to take it because I want you to have the best job that you can have." And man, did that teach me a lot. That he wasn't just trying to get something from me, but that he wanted what was good for me.
Hey, next time on The Balanced Word, we'll consider what the Proverbs have to say about getting advice and counsel. The Balanced Word is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play with.